From KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Andrea Kissick. Many people with the blood disease hemophilia never expected to be alive today. At a young age, they were told they'd likely die from uncontrolled bleeding. But in the late 1960s, a promising drug treatment became available that dramatically lengthened the lifespan of hemophiliacs. KQED science reporter Leslie McClurg reports on a generation of survivors, relieved and surprised to find themselves facing retirement.
When Randy Curtis bumped his knee in second grade, he received devastating news.
My mom would take me to the hematologist, and he said, you know, these kids don't live much past 13.
And so Curtis delivered surprising news to his math teacher the next day.
I don't have to learn this stuff. I'm going to be dead.
But he was wrong. He's made it to
the ripe old age of 61.
Curtis has hemophilia, a rare genetic disease. His liver doesn't produce a protein that makes his blood clot. Only 1 in 5,000 boys in the world are born with the disorder. Women are carriers. To prevent internal bleeding by something as benign as a bump or a fall, Curtis had to wear protective gear growing up.
There was always this worry about, was I going to bleed?
He went to school in a wheelchair. He wore braces on his elbows and his knees.
For these children, the bleeding doesn't stop. And after 6 or 8 hours, the ankle or the knee joint is swollen to the point where it's extremely painful.
Marion Kerper is a retired pediatric hematologist from UC San Francisco.
They can't straighten their leg. They can't walk on their leg. And they need to be brought in for treatment.
Kerper says hemophilia is often called the royal disease.
Queen Victoria had one son who had hemophilia, but she had daughters who were carriers for hemophilia. And because they were princesses, they were married off to princes in Spain, Germany, and Russia.
The Russian tale was featured in the 1971 Academy Award-winning film Nicholas and Alexandra. At the beginning of the 20th century, the Russian Tsar learned his son suffered from the disease.
It is unquestionably hemophilia.
I see. And what's the treatment?
Nothing, sire.
But that's not possible. There must be medicines.
There are no medicines.
It wasn't until 6 decades later, scientists discovered how to make hemophiliacs' blood clot. Randy Curtis has given himself an intravenous injection of clotting factor every few days since he was 14 years old. At the dining room table of his Walnut Creek home, Curtis wraps a tourniquet around his arm.
And I'm going to open this box up and take out all the parts because it comes with its own needle and its own Band-Aid and its own alcohol swab.
This home regimen gave Curtis his life back. No more bleeds, no more hospitals. And so life went on. He got married, had a son, started an MBA.
And then it all came crashing down when we discovered how many were infected with HIV.
Dr. Kerper is referring to a medical disaster that occurred in the early 1980s. The clotting factor medication for hemophiliacs was accidentally contaminated with HIV and hepatitis C from human blood donations.
And those were really dark days. I looked at my patients and said, they're going to die.
Having just received a new lease on life, now half of the hemophilia patients in the U.S. were infected with HIV.
A lot of my really good friends are gone. A lot of their wives are gone because, you know, there was a lot of spread of HIV before we even knew it was HIV.
At the time, Curtis was one of the lucky ones. He never became infected. But his number came up a few years ago when he was diagnosed with hepatitis C. He likely caught the virus during the HIV crisis when the nation's blood supply was tainted. It can take 30 years for the disease to kick in.
This was 48 weeks of hell. This was interferon, ribavirin, and all this stuff that gave you basically the flu every day for 48 weeks.
Even though the hepatitis C treatment was successful at beating the disease, he's still recovering from all the drugs. Fortunately, the threat of virus contamination was eliminated in the 1990s, when hemophilia medication was made synthetically rather than from human blood. Pharmaceutical companies manufacture clotting factor at facilities like Bayer Healthcare's biotech plant in Berkeley.
We have to support, grow, harvest, work with the cells day in and day out.
Hans Durr is with Bayer's hematology unit. Today, the company's medication is made with hamster cells that are genetically modified in bioreactors. But now, researchers are looking beyond treatment toward a cure using advances in genetics.
The hope could be that in about 10 years, a gene therapy product could become available.
Bayer recently partnered with CRISPR Therapeutics, a gene editing startup. Bayer is investing $300 million in the partnership in hopes of someday correcting the genetic defects that cause blood disorders. Meanwhile, Curtis is enjoying retirement.
Nice! Midair catch.
As he plays fetch with his dog, he reflects on his life and smiles.
I've been really lucky. I mean, I'm vertical, right? I can't complain.
But his journey is a first world tale. 75% of hemophiliacs live in developing countries without good care. And they usually
have a life expectancy of about 13 and die fairly crippled up.
Luckily, Curtis has insurance to cover his annual treatment. It averages around $250,000. The high cost and lack of access to drugs are why Curtis is spending his retirement volunteering with the National Hemophilia Foundation to improve international care.
We're building tools for developing countries and showing them how to collect data and do their own advocacy.
He hopes someday all hemophiliacs will live full, active lives. I'm Leslie McClurg, KQED News.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, Hope Lab, and the George G. and Jeanette A. Stewart Charitable Trust.